GOP gubernatorial candidate Ken Bennett has experienced a lot of backlash thanks to his recent comments that he wouldn't appoint Cindy McCain to the U.S. Senate if John McCain isn't able to complete his current term. Despite what Bennett said, there are a lot of examples in the nation's history, most of them in the 20th century, of a widow succeeding her husband in Congress. To learn more about the impact of those women and whether we could see more in the future, I turn to Kelly Didmar. She's a scholar at the Center for American Women and Politics at Rutgers University. Kelly, first, how many times has a widow taken over her husband's house or Senate seat? And at what point in her history was this happening more frequently?
So we keep track of this at the Center for American Women in Politics and have found that over time we've had 47 women elected or appointed to fill congressional vacancies created by the deaths of their husbands. That includes 8 women that have been sent to the U.S. Senate in that way, and 39 women in the U.S. House of Representatives. But if you look at the trajectory over time, you see that a lot of those appointments or special elections of widows happens in the early to mid 20th century. So the more recent elections of women to Congress are less likely to follow this widow's pathway. And this was something that was much more common earlier in time. And so we haven't seen much of that recently. But I will say some of the women that have been elected or appointed in that way have continued to serve and be elected in their own right after being selected to fill a vacancy of their husband.
Were there a couple of examples that come to mind for you who some of these women who became either prominent or people who really accomplished a few things while they were in office?
So you have sort of notable firsts like Hattie Wyatt Carraway in 1931, who was appointed to the U.S. Senate and then continued to serve until 1945. That's notable because she was the first woman in the U.S. Senate in that way. In terms of accomplishments, you can look at a lot of the women. More recently, Doris Matsui, she was just selected in 2005, but has continued to be elected in her own right from California time and time again. Somebody like Lois Capps, who just retired and was in Congress for nearly 2 decades, significant advocate specifically on issues of gender equity. Lindy Boggs from Louisiana is a similar case. She had gotten into Congress through this pathway in 1973, but served until 1991 and now has a room named in her honor in the Capitol.
I just wanted to ask you from a historical standpoint, was there anything controversial generally about having a widow appointed to a seat? Was it seen as some way of carrying on the legacy of the person who had held elected office? I mean, was this sort of a thing that was done as an honor in a sense?
That's a really good question. And I'm not sure in all of these cases about how voters responded or how those in the political establishment responded at the time. My guess is that it might have been different in each of these cases, especially depending on the reputation of that particular woman and her husband. But I do think part of the motivation to select these women was to continue on that legacy with the idea that these women knew full well what their husband's policy priorities and positions were, had many of the same relationships and networks to their husbands. And if we want to be very truthful, we know that these women were often working behind the scenes, but doing a lot of important work for their husbands. If you look back, again, early in the 20th century, a lot of members of Congress didn't have full staffs like they do now. And so who was doing a lot of the background work? Sometimes it was their wives. And so in some of these cases, the wives were probably just as well known among those sort of internal and inside the system as their husbands.
In the presidency, we think about FDR and also Woodrow Wilson, a couple examples where their wives did a lot of work behind the scenes. And we've come to know that much later in history, but not at the time.
Yeah, that's right. Behind every great man is a greater woman, right? So you have this trend, though, of these women being highly involved. And I think that's important to recognize because some of the critiques, of course, of having women get into office this way and having wives get into office this way is sort of what is their experience? What do they know? Well, the reality is that they know quite a lot about how this works. Because in many cases, they're working very closely alongside their husbands and have additional credentials and qualifications in their own right.
Do you think, just based on the fact the one word we often hear when it comes to politics these days is polarization, do you think this polarization makes something like this any more difficult?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the polarized dynamics contribute to just more divisive politics overall. But more so than even the polarization, I think that the competitiveness for these seats and the sort of ruthless way in which folks compete for any available open seat because there are relatively few of them, I think that actually might contribute more than just the party polarization in and of itself to a backlash to this sort of a nomination, right? Because you have a lot of people waiting in the wings for any open seat. And so if you said to them, you know, people who've been building a political career just to get to this point, and instead you say to them, well, instead of you, I'm going to choose somebody who hasn't necessarily been building a resume that has led to the U.S. Senate. I think that's where the resentment lies, especially because these are not term limited positions.
It took a while, certainly, but we're seeing more and more women who've been in office for a while, and we're seeing more and more women running for office. What about when you have a woman who served in the Senate for 30 years? Could we see a situation where the husband succeeds her, for example?
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting dynamic that we're trying to keep track of. Exactly. Are there situations where we'll see the reverse happen? And I think that when we get closer to equity in American politics, it will mean seeing examples like that, where we have, whether it be a husband or a son succeeding their mother in Congress, that demonstrates to us that we've sort of made another inch towards greater gender parity in politics.
Kelly Dittmar is an associate professor of political science at Rutgers Camden and a scholar at the University Center for American Women and Politics.